Oh, in this scenario, 11,156 New Era. We've been in heaven for 11,156, and your little world was created just a few months ago, and God has assigned me, has given me the privilege of telling you my testimony. This is my testimony. Now, I didn't live this entire period of time because it started with eternity past. And it travels through history through eternity future. We are going to look at the love of God. We could say that is Matthew 22:27, in the sense that all of the love of God is demonstrated in one big statement when Jesus was responding to a question about which is the greatest of this law, which is the greatest commandment. And Jesus said, love God first, right?
Right.
That's our first responsibility. But I even, Craig, gotta love you.
All right.
Oh, and you. And you, Tom.
What about me?
Wow. That is love. We have to love God. We have to love each other because 1 John says, if you don't love your brother, you don't understand love, you don't have love.
That's right.
And so the law of God, my friends, spans eternity, and it was up on the Ten Commandments when it was given clear back here, was just simply a small mini picture of what that law was.
Okay.
So we're going to study that. We're going to study from eternity past. And we're going to look at the love of God throughout the Old Testament. Because what happens is, so many times we look at the Old Testament as bad, news. And where does that come from? Satan.
Yeah.
I can't make my hands right, but it came from Satan trying to pray it represent God as a mean, tough God.
That's right.
And then over here it says, God is so loving, I can't get my hands to work, that we can sin and do anything we want. Neither representation is the real picture of God. So I have decided that the next few months I'm going to be looking at little individual wedges of the different aspects of God.
Okay.
And I hope that it is something that we'll find interesting. Okay, where are we? Here we are. Now, why don't you work? Why won't that thing go down? Well, let's try down here. For some reason, my screen won't change, and that makes it really tough. The tough thing is that yesterday afternoon, I just messed the whole, I had it all saved, all edited, and see if I can do it with the mouse. There we go. I think we all get it. I had it all saved and all edited, and somehow I erased it. So in a panic, I called my girlfriend. Well, I guess I'm going to have to try it this way. Well, let's try it this way. There we go. In a panic, I called Shirley and said, I am upset. And I had overwritten it, but I found it pretty much, but I found the it mostly there, but it had not been edited, and I had to rework everything. So I'm going to be doing a lot of reading today, which I do anyway, because my mind is all struggling. But anyway, now we're back to the story. In this new series, we will start from eternity past, when the God had decided to create, populate it with planets, galaxies, and finally beings like you and I. Yes, there was a time that space was empty, totally dark, totally without shape, totally with nothing but the very presence of God himself. And the God had a little meeting. And the three of them sat down and said, what we want to do is populate space with something that we can enjoy. So, I hear God speaking. Quiet. Listen. Friends, I want to add to our space things that we can enjoy. The Holy Spirit asks, where and how can this start? Jesus, a name given to him a millennia later, speaks, let's fill it with suns and moons and stars. Allow them to multiply by self, using the vast expanse of gases and we call nebula, in which the new suns and new stars and new moons can be replaced those that have died. The Holy Spirit asks again, but how will this happen? God answers, within the set of laws that we will create. We'll call that the laws of physics. Mass equals energy squared. The thought comes, what is mass equaling energy squared? Yeah, what is it? It is energy so compressed that it becomes mass. Where is all energy come from? All energy comes from God. All energy is maintained in God. He is the only source of energy. So God has the ability and had the ability to take energy. And this is some of Alvin Kimball thinking, because physics don't teach you much. But God had the ability to take his own energy, compress it. We know that is physics. We can take coal and compress it into a diamond. God can take energy and compress it into mass, into matter. And so they decided, let's start. And Jesus spoke, and it was done. Psalms 33:9. That's all it took. God speaking, taking his energy and turning it into matter. And so all of a sudden, stars, moons, galaxies, nebula filled space. But not only filled it, but it also had the ability within itself to expand over time. And do you know that space is still expanding? The Word of God started it, set it up so it would continue to expand, and we live in a world, in a universe that is still expanding. The amazing thought, my friends, as we're talking today in this class, is that you, a few months ago, your world, you were created. The same thing happened to my world. God created it before time began, in a sense, but he held it until he was ready to fill it. Can you imagine God filling every moon, sun, every moon and star, every planet with populace? That is what he's starting to do again. But before, and during my time, it had to stop for a moment. Just a blink in the centuries, millennia of eternity, that my little world was just a blink, but it was there. But there's another question. Well, what is the second law of our physics? The Holy Spirit asks. Jesus smiles and said, everything falls apart. Well, that's the second law of physics, but what happens when God is involved? Let's remember that when Jesus said to the disciples, "Are not two arrows sold for a farthing?" I hope I get it. "For a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than sparrows." It was that foreknowledge that it is so amazing to me. He knew what pain, humility, disgrace that he would endure for me, even with the knowledge and being willing to come in time to my world to save me, even if there were no others that wanted to be saved. The laws of physics are much a part of the laws of God. They are a part of God's laws of love. There is another law of physics that I mentioned, and all things deteriorate, but we got to think about this. God said, through him were all things made. Without him, nothing was made. And that's in John 1:3. But now listen to another verse. "For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." I think the New English Version says exist. And I think the King James Version, it is in Christ, it is in God that all things hold together. God can supersede the law of physics.
Amen.
If it wasn't for God, you and I wouldn't exist. We breathe, we walk, we talk. Whether it is 11,156 years later in this new era, or it was in the time that we lived on earth, we exist. The worlds exist. The universe exists by the power and the authority of God. And that is a powerful, powerful thought. I'm going to see if I can move this down a little more slowly. Ah, now it's working for me. A little later, I will go through each day of creation, from the commandment to create the intimate, those things which have no life in them, like the dirt under your feet, the stones under your feet. That's inanimate creation. That was the first stage of creation, preparing for the next stage of creation, which was the animate creation. And that is the things that do have life, do have the ability to reproduce life. And then it went up the grade to the animals, and then you and I, or man. We will look at each day of those 7 days, because there's a tremendous story in them. And I'm just going to stop here, and I want to have a chart, and I'm going to try to explain this picture very, very quickly, because I haven't done one-tenth of the sermon anyway. But when I say the love of God through eternity and through eternity of past, each week, each time I preach, I'll have a wedge of what happens in that sermon. And I'll put that wedge, it will be a mylar wedge, and the topic points will be there. Each week we'll look at the love of God and of iron and velvet. This week, and probably into next week, we'll be looking at the love of God in velvet. The love of God touching people in a tender way, and that happens throughout all eternity. But there is a point of God, it has to be iron. And I got this from a book I read many years ago, Man of Steel and Man of Velvet. And it talks about how fathers should have a combination of natures, love, and standards. God has love and standards, and we need to look at those to understand God. And then we go on to creation and prophecy. Prophecy and judgment, we need to understand that prophecy prepares us for the future, gives us information, and the judgment of God is always in advance, and there's 5 points to the judgment, but we'll study those things. But here is the main point that I want to cover, the cross.
All right.
The Old Testament and the New Covenant. I put T there, but that should be covenant. And the New Testament and the New Covenant, they are really the same covenant of God's plan of salvation. They really are. They just simply have, their God's love and justice have kissed each other in that plan. And so when we look at these things, my dear class, this being my testimony is trying to explain to you who have never experienced it, trying to tell you my testimony, how God dealt with me, and the testimony and a historical background of how God has dealt with every age of the history of the world that I came from. And so let's stop back. And God said, as they were looking at their thoughts, he said, in my rendition of a few verses tied together, God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that I will dwell among them. Someday, for that reason, I will create a new heavens and a new earth. That's a combination of Genesis 1, 26, Exodus 25, 8, and Isaiah 65, 17. God always wanted to dwell with people on this earth. He wanted to have communion with people on this earth. That's why he made continual visits to Adam and Eve. He wanted relationship. This earth was created for a reason.
Amen.
And it was because God wanted beings like him in his image. And what is like him? He had a form, evidently. And he had an image. And Adam and Eve were created in his likeness and in his image. And as he came to the garden at the end of each day, they were in his presence. And what was that being in God's presence? What was the effect upon them physically? It was the same effect on Moses. God's radiance was taken into their bodies. God, we can either say, well, we believe in the firefly and God put some chemicals in them, but not likely. I believe in the God, them being in God's presence, brought the robe of light that was present. But there was another aspect too, my dear friends, his image. They had no propensity, no emotion, no thought. It never crossed their mind to disobey God. So the question is then, why was Satan sent to the same earth that Adam and Eve would be put on? Well, what would be your answer? The answer is that God gave the freedom of choice. In the worlds before the fall, every angel had been given the gospel. They understood the love of God, and that is his gospel. But they also understood they had the freedom to make a choice, but it never crossed their minds. It never even came to their attention that there was anything else but the love of God. Until a little glitch came along. And that little glitch was quite... Okay, come on. Oh, there you go. Was quite a revelation in heaven. It was what I call the birth of the dark side. And I want to talk about that a little bit as to what happened step by step in that birth of the dark side. Because that impacted the angels, it impacted Adam and Eve, and it impacted my entire world from the beginning of the fall to the end. But it had to start in one place. And where did it start? In the mind of Satan. He just didn't turn out, wake up one morning and say, man, I don't like God. It was a process. The same process that happens in the mind of Satan happens in our minds. All evil starts by a thought in the mind. All evil starts by preparation for evil in the mind. And the interesting thing is that I want to divert from a little bit. Evil is like me learning to walk. 6 years ago, I had pretty much lost my ability to walk. My hands didn't work. Well, they still don't work, but kind of. I had to learn to read, you know. My disease took everything from me, and I had to go through therapy. And I was up on this thing that I was to hold on to, which I would fall off all the time because my hands didn't work right. And I was to learn to put one foot in front of the other. But do you realize that what I was learning to do, I had learned to do as a child? It was a neuronic path. You know what a neuron is? It is a little cell in the brain that has dendrites in the bottom, below the axon, and then the neuron top of it, I can't remember what you call it, and then a bunch of dendrites. Some of them have over 13,000 dendrites right in the top. There's more dendrites in the brain than there are stars in the universe, mathematically. Well, there's one neuron here, there's one neuron here, there's one neuron here. And so I tell my body I want my foot to go forward. That neuron says, okay, Alvin, I want your foot to go forward. It sends a message to the next neuron, to the next neuron, to the next neuron. And pretty soon, the command goes to a muscle that says, Alvin, put your foot forward. Now, they used to tell me, don't look at my feet. I still look at my feet to make sure they're doing what they're supposed to, because they don't always. But my feet will never always do what they're supposed to do. But I do pretty good. But that is a habit that the mind actually makes to walk. But the more often I put my foot forward, the more solid that path is. And it is still a habit, but it becomes a habit that is so natural I don't even think about it anymore. We walk without thinking. Well, you know, the truth is the habit of thought is the same way. We actually train our minds. You and this planet, me and my planet as I was there, we actually train our minds on how to think, what to think, what to do, what to look at. We train that by what we take into our eyes, into our ears, into our mouth, repeatedly, how we think about things. And Satan created a habit of negative thought. And I just want to make it so important what Satan did in his time as the dark side developed is what happens in our lives today. And we have to get so ready to focus on one thing. The Bible says, and I'm not going to look up the verse here, the Bible says, look up to who? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If we are focusing on eternal things, we're focusing on eternal hell. Have you ever thought about that? If we aren't looking and focusing on Jesus, we are then putting ourselves in danger of eternal loss. That's how important the training of the mind is. It is a point of eternal perspective and eternal importance. And we living in a world that has so bombarded with this and with that, with the other thing, our senses take all that in. But we can ask the Holy Spirit to block it because we can focus on the Holy Spirit. There's a story about Ellen White that she was on a construction site doing a tour of construction, and it was non-believers that were doing the work for the school. I think it was a school. And they were swearing and talking and just doing all kinds of things. And after she went through the construction site, someone said to her, how could you handle and deal with all that filthy language? And she says, what filthy language? And then she said, I focus on Jesus. I didn't even hear that. I was focusing on the school project. I was focusing on this and that. My mind was not trained to listen to the foul language. That is a tremendous story to me. I have never forgotten it. I don't even remember where it came from. I mean, what book it came from. I used to do a lot of reading. But it did impact my life tremendously. If my focus is focused on my job or what I'm doing for Christ or on Him and His love, the things of this world can go away. But there's another thing that I wanted to bring into this, and that was the physical aspect of Satan's negative thinking. The physical aspect is, whoops, now I just did that, Tom. The physical aspect is that when we go into a negative process, well, let me back up a little bit. When Satan began to think in a negative way, there came a change in the electrical impulses in his body. He began to have negative electrical currents going in. God always has positive electrical currents, and that can be measured today on electrical equipment. They say that I have an aura of about 3 feet as an adult. That means people walking into my presence can feel that. But animals are so much more susceptible to feeling that they can feel it up to 30 feet away. Electronically, they can pick up my negative impulses and know they're negative 3 feet away electrically. Or they can pick up my positive. The merry heart does good like a medicine. Do you know why? Because positive electrical impulses are coursing through the body. And then another thing happened. As Satan's mind began to go, pretty soon his entire thinking was negative. It affected him physically. Then there is another point. He began to develop in his mind chemicals that were negative. We have chemicals that affect us in a negative way. We have chemicals that affect us in a positive way. Those are the changes that came in Satan, which he passed on to my ancestors. That was never God's plan. There was never a negative, sad thought in the mind of Jesus. Therefore, because he kept his relationship with God, he had a protective barrier between God or between himself and Satan. The angels had a protective barrier, but God had to do something. When this came into place, and I'm going to leave out because I'm going to stop in about 2 minutes. It's 12:15. And I'm going to pick up here next week. Or 2 weeks from now. But we have to realize that God had to do something in heaven. One-third of the angels began to question, is Satan right or is God right? Every one-third of them made the decision that Satan was right. Every angel in heaven asked that question because a thought was put in their mind that God's law is not fair. Satan said to them, if we are perfect, if I am perfect, then everything I think is perfect, everything I do is perfect, there is no law then, no need for a law. That was the argument, as White tells us in Greek controversy, I think it is. And that was his argument to the angels. And so, don't you go away. Who was on trial then? God was on trial. It wasn't the angels, it was God. And it has always been God who is on trial. Whether he is accusing the brethren, as Revelation says, the accuser of the brethren, or whether he's accusing, and we're going to look at the Job incident and the Joshua incident, we're going to look at that. In the Old Testament, God was still on trial. He's always been on trial because the accusations against God's people are always against God. They're saying, God, Satan's saying is, Tom can't do it, Shirley can't do it, it's your fault, God! That's what he's really saying. And we have to realize that God has to show his justice. He has to show his love. He has to show his love in his justice. That is where God is on trial. He has to show his love in his justice. And we're going to stop now. I'm going to have prayer. And we're going to pick up there next week. Or next week from now. And we'll just pray that this, in this class, that you understand what my world had to go through. You have no idea. So therefore, God sent me to your world so that sin wouldn't happen again. You have to understand why sin happened and then why God did what he did. And that's why I'm here today, to continue this story, to tell you my testimony, to tell you the history of my world and how my God of love dealt with every situation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We come and we want to present our lives to you for your keeping, our minds to you for your keeping, our hearts for you for to your keeping. And we just trust that the Holy Spirit, because you sent him, we trust that we will listen, and we thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.